You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno and KAUK 91.7 Juno Auk Bay and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. For loyal listeners to KTOO, Bill Legere really needs no introduction. Bill worked at KTOO starting in 1985 and took the reins of the organization in 1991. During his 37-plus years, KTOO has moved locations, created a statewide television station, instituted Gavel Alaska, which is a C-SPAN-like coverage of the Alaska legislative session, added two music stations in KRNN and KXLL, and increased coverage of all the stations with additional signal coverage and station licenses, most recently extending coverage of the KTOO signal out the road with the new KAUK 91.7 radio frequency. In addition to all he's done for KTOO, Bill has had a profound impact on Alaska broadcasting. He was a founder of Coast Alaska, Alaska Public Broadcasting, Inc., and the National Association of Public Affairs Networks. He was a longtime board member and past president of the ABA, the Alaska Broadcasters Association. Bill was named by the ABA Broadcaster of the Year in 2007 and inducted into the ABA's Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 2013. In 2020, he received the Governor's Humanities Award for Distinguished Service to the Humanities. I'm honored to welcome to KTOO Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, Mr. Bill Legere.
Well, that's a lot of words, Boston. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome,
Bill. It's
fun
to be here. Yeah.
My singular clap is being matched in many people's ears right now by generations of public media listeners. Bill, Gwyneth Cheese for being here today. I know being in the limelight isn't exactly your thing. You've often been described as having a quiet leadership style or someone who leads by highlighting the work of others. So let's start with that. How did you develop your leadership style over the course of your career?
Yeah, I wish I could say that it was intentional or I had some training or special insight, but it was by accident, really. I came up as I started as a news person and I became a manager reluctantly, moving from my job as news director at the small public radio station in Petersburg into the manager's job when the manager suddenly left. So I really hadn't intended on this kind of a leadership role. But it's, I'd say, you know, trial and error over the years. For every success, there are 9 things that didn't work out so well.
Right, right.
I try to build on the ones that did work and move on from there.
Nice. So you've spent 37 plus years at KTOO, but before we talk about that, where did the love of public media come from?
Hmm. Yeah, well, I was, sort of the audiovisual technical nerd when I was in high school, and I got an after-school job at my hometown AM radio station. Playing music in the afternoon. It was a daytime AM station, which means it had to sign off the air at sunset.
Oh.
So in the winter, that would be 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And, so, you know, I'd sign it. I'd go in after school and be on the air for an hour and sign it off. WRUM in Rumford, Maine. And I never did anything else. I have, since the first day I walked into a radio studio, that's what I wanted to do. I ended up, when I went to college at the University of Maine, I immediately got involved in both the college radio station and the studios for the statewide radio network were also on campus. And so I got my foot in the door there as soon as I could. And that's, what was the beginning of my long journey in public media. I actually started on the day that All Things Considered went on the air.
Oh, wow.
They hired me as a part-time board operator for this new NPR program. It was in May of the year escapes me, but so I celebrate the same anniversary in public media as All Things Considered.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a good thing to remember. That's a good trick to know how long you've been doing it. So I know that you started as a reporter, Maine Public Broadcasting, where you worked for several years while you were getting your degrees in journalism and broadcasting. Mm-hmm. And then you got a call to adventure to move to KFSK in Petersburg, Alaska. How did that come about?
Yeah. Well, I spent a brief less than a year in Oregon on the way here.
Okay.
My friends in Maine said, you know, you got to get out to see the rest of the country to appreciate the state of Maine, you know, go see the world, do something different. And so I said, okay, I'll take a chance on that. And I took a job at a public radio station in Oregon. But when I landed at the Portland airport, leaving the airport, there was a billboard that had the Alaska Airlines face on it with a finger pointing north. And I thought, I could actually go to Alaska from here. It had never been on my radar, but that dawned on me that it was, you know, only two airports away from Portland. So within a year, I found this opening at KFSK and thought I'd come up for a few years. I was in my 20s, thought it would be a fun thing to do for a little bit of time, and then it just grew on me.
And then look at you now.
Yeah.
It's interesting because people have that in Alaska. They're always like, hey, go outside for a while, capital O outside, right? And go experience the world. And then you realize, oh, I actually want to go back to Alaska.
Yeah.
So there was never any calling for you to go back to Maine?
No, you know, my family still asks me to this day, when are you going to go home? When are you coming home? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not. I'm
You're
here.
Not.
You know, this is my home now. And Sally and I decided years ago that we're going to just stay right here in Juneau. This is the best place in the world for us.
It's a very nice place. I mean, my partner, Aaron, and I, we decided the same thing. We left for a few years and then decided, you know what? Juneau is pretty awesome. So that's good. Now, a little sidetrack. I just want to know about this graduate degree in rhetorical theory and analysis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What in the world is that?
Yeah. It's a scholarly Greek academic pursuit of understanding the meaning of rhetoric. The simplest thing that the simplest way to explain it is like one of my projects was to analyze all of the state of the state speeches by Maine governors, and you look at the structure of the speech and what the hidden meanings are, and you know how what the intention is, how the speaker presents the ideas. And so that was my project, was to analyze every recorded state of the state address from every Maine governor
who
had been recorded, and then break it down into its component parts.
And now, have you found over the years that the graduate degree, because I know there was something else in there, agricultural and resource economics.
Yeah, that served me well, actually, you know, and I can't remember who it is, but I've run into one other person in Juneau who has an ag and resource economics degree. And it's really, it's the study of small rural communities and what makes them tick. And rural sociology was part of that. And so it's actually always served me well, I think.
And did you have designs when you did that graduate study to do something with that, or was it just things you were interested in?
At the time, I wanted to become a well-rounded journalist.
Okay.
So my main thing was I wanted to be a reporter and a producer, and I wanted to hone my skills in covering rural Maine.
I got
when
you.
When I lived there.
Okay.
And, you know,
okay.
I've never lived in any community bigger than Juneau, to
wow.
be honest with you. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. What was the town in Oregon? Was it a small town?
It was a small town. It was near Eugene, but I lived outside of Eugene.
Oh,
and
okay.
My hometown was 10,000 people. Orono, Maine was 15,000 when I lived there.
Wow. So, not a big city boy.
Nope. Nope.
Yeah.
This is the biggest.
Okay. And so then the move to KTO in 1985, and for those of us that weren't around then, I mean, I was born, I just wasn't living here then. Can you give us a picture of what KTO looked like in 1985?
Yeah. Yeah. It had just gone through its first growth spurt, and it was the beginning of the oil money flowing into public broadcasting, you know, state funding for public broadcasting mm-hmm. because of Prudhoe Bay. And at the time, KTO had recently, within a few years before I got here, had bought the old Assembly of God Church building on the corner of 4th and South Franklin Street, which is where Rainbow Foods is located today.
Right.
And the station had moved into that building and converted the sanctuary of the church into a TV studio in the basement. The Sunday school rooms became the radio studios and the offices for the radio station. And there was a lot going on in those days. It was, the station was maturing and professionalizing to the disappointment of some of the founders, the people who had started it as a volunteer grassroots organization, bristled at some of the changes that were being made. Bringing NPR programming onto the air was controversial because it was considered to be canned or outside programming, here. So the station was going through one of its many phases of growth and change and adapting to the current environment, which is something that I've often thought about is in the DNA of KTOO, and that's the sort of nerdy approach to technology, and we can do it. Nobody's saying no. We can do anything we want to do. Has sort of driven every change, every new project, every new initiative here.
Right. So it was a real community radio, not even playing NPR. It was a lot of volunteers and things like that.
When I got there, NPR was on the air, and the TV station had started in 1979 and became a PBS member in October of 1979.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right. And then you took the head job in 1991.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, can you remember like what your vision was or the outlook for the future? Did you have designs at that time?
Yeah, I wanted to, I wanted to deepen the community roots. What that was important to me is to make sure that the stations represented everyone in Juneau, sort of the entire community. And that's been a long journey and a whole separate
story.
We're still trying to get there. Yeah, still trying.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to see if what we could do to make KTOO central to not only Juneau, but the entire state, to make it an important media institution for all of Alaska. And that led to our expanding role in news, to creating Gavel to Gavel and 360 TV.
Yeah.
To all these initiatives that serve both Juneau and the rest of the state.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, we're going to get to some of those in a minute. Will you share a fond memory or two from those early days?
Oh, boy. It's hard to know where to start. One thing that's interesting to me is that when I arrived at KTOO, there was somebody working there already who is again on the staff today, and Jamie Waste, who's our major giving officer today, actually preceded me. He was the radio program director for KTOO.
I did not know that.
Yep. Yep. And he came back after moving on to Coast Alaska and to running the statewide public broadcasting service and working at the Juneau Community Foundation. So it's sort of full circle for me that Jamie rejoined the KTOO staff last year.
Yeah.
And many of the names are names, many of the people who are there are kind of legends in Juneau. Don Drew is doing Mule Train, a country music show late at night. He was a weather service forecaster who, as a volunteer, did a great country western record show. He'd bring in a big satchel full of records. Annabelle Lund, who old timers in Juneau will remember, was and other people were cobbling together a TV newscast every day.
Right.
Well, way ambitious, way overly ambitious to be able to sustain that. But it was driven by volunteers and a small paid staff.
Really wanted to have
television news.
TV news in Juneau.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, I know because you mentioned some people already, and I know you've worked with some amazing people over the years. The ones I know of, such as the recently retired Jeff Browns of the world and also the still working Cheryl Snyders of the world. I know it's hard to call out from so many of those names, but is there any memories of any of those two that I mentioned or others? I know you just mentioned a few, but is there others that you might call out?
Yeah, we've had some celebrities come from KTOO. Peter Kenyon, who is still reports from, is a foreign correspondent for NPR. Worked here at KTO, and before that, I hired him at KFSK in Petersburg as the volunteer coordinator. And he went on to, to do great things. Elizabeth Arnold was a reporter in the newsroom at KTOO. I remember when she landed her first story on NPR, and then NPR hired her, and she became a national political correspondent there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Some people who started in our little town of Juneau went on to the big time.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, that's really good. Okay. I'm talking with recently retired Bill Legere, former general manager and president of KTOO. When we come back from this short break, we will talk innovations and changes over the years at KTOO.
Hi, this is Robin. In the 5 years that I've worked for Bill, I've seen him continue to actively learn new things and stretch both his imagination and dedication to KTOO and our community. Bill, thank you for always treating me as your equal and trusting in my skill and work. You're a legend, but more importantly, a high-quality person. Happy retirement.
This month, we're raising the funds that make everything you get from KTOO possible. We invite you to become a member or make an additional gift at whatever level you can afford. When you give, choose one of the thank you gifts with a terrific design by local artist Undefined Stephanie Tripp. And special for this spring only, if you donate $15 a month or more, you'll be eligible for a digital New York Times subscription. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being a member. You make KTOO possible for our whole community. Give at ktoo.org.
Welcome back to your community-supported public media station, KTOO. This is Juneau Afternoon. I'm Boston Christopher talking with former general manager and president of KTOO, Bill Legere. We heard their membership spot, Bill. Next week is our spring membership drive. I can't even imagine how many membership drives you participated in over the years, back in the days of phone rooms and pledge drives. Would you give us one last pitch as to the importance of membership and supporting a public media entity like KTOO?
Oh, boy, I should be able to do this in my sleep. But I think anyone who's listening to this program today knows the value of public media in their lives and the impact it has on the community here in Juneau. And KTOO really is a creature of community support. It's independently owned public media, which is pretty rare in the United States these days to have locally controlled, not-for-profit public media like KTOO and all the other public stations in Alaska. And in spite of all the ups and downs of federal funding and the disappearance of state funding, one thing that's remained consistent over the years is listener support from day one, from the first time somebody turned on a microphone and asked for money here at KTOO through today. Listener support is the lifeblood of everything that happens here.
That was amazing. And your eyes were even open. You didn't even have to do that in your sleep. That was pretty great. Well, thank you.
Yeah. And I would say call now, but we don't do that anymore.
We might cut that and make that a testimonial for next week's membership drive. Okay. So innovations. It didn't take long after you took leadership in 91 to institute one of the most important features that has come to Alaska and KTOO, Gavel. Gavel, Alaska. How did that come about?
Yeah. It's interesting that you asked that. We, Justin Schoeman, the new general manager, and I met with the Alaska Committee this morning. And the Alaska Committee is the volunteer group of citizens who work to make Juneau a better capital and to assure that the capital stays here. And one of the members of the Alaska Committee, who was the mayor at the time, Jamie Parsons, came to visit me in the old building on 4th Street. It was right after a capital move vote. And for those who haven't been through a capital move vote, it's devastating for the economy. People panic and, you know, housing prices would plummet and people would hunker down and worry about their future as well they should. Anyway, Jamie came to ask me if we could do something like C-SPAN, and we were uniquely positioned to do that. My predecessors, long before I arrived, had pulled coaxial cable throughout the Capitol building so that they could do occasional TV, live TV programs from there. And they pulled it under the sidewalks down the block to the KTOO building on 4th Street. So we were pretty well set up infrastructure-wise to do it. So in 1994, we did a two-week demonstration trial period. The leadership of the House and the Senate didn't want us to do it. They thought there would be grandstanding for the cameras, or we would catch legislators napping or doing things embarrassing. And
yeah,
the state's newspapers editorialized for live television coverage from the Capitol, and the leadership relented, let us do a two-week demo to try it out. And then they went on recess for 2 weeks. So there wasn't much to see, but we were able to test the concept and came back full time starting in January of 1995. So it'll be 29. This is the 29th year coming up on year number 30.
That's amazing.
We were one of the first states to do full-blown television coverage for the whole state. There are other places that have done it just in the Capitol building itself or only in the Capitol city or, you know, kind of limited closed circuit kind of television. But we were one of the pioneers along with Washington State, Florida, Connecticut, Michigan were the early states to do the kind of coverage that we do.
Now, so Gavel started in 95, but 360 TV, which is the statewide network, didn't start till, what was it, 2007?
2007, yeah.
So how was Gavel broadcast before that?
Well, it was on a satellite delivered channel that we only used during the session. So we paid at first the state of Alaska, then AT&T, and now GCI to distribute the signal to get it out of Juneau to everybody around the state. We paid for year-round service and we only used it for 3 or 4 months out of the year. So it finally clicked that if we're going to pay a considerable amount of money for a year-round satellite connection, why don't we fill up that channel with other Alaskan content the rest of the year?
I see.
And that led us to creating what was originally called 360 North, and it's now called 360 TV, to fill out the rest of the year.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And also in 2007, you added the two music stations, KRNN and KXLL, and you re-engineered KTOO to become more fully news-focused. What prompted that change?
There was a movement in all of public media to acquire additional channels, additional frequencies to better serve the American public. You know, the model in commercial broadcasting is that one company owns numerous stations, you know, a handful to a dozen to, you know, to hundreds of stations. And there's an efficiency in that. It's the same model that movie theaters use. You have one box office, one refreshment stand, but four screens. And it's economical to run that way. It doesn't cost four times as much to run four movie screens in one building, and it doesn't cost three times as much to run three radio stations. So we were around the country looking at opportunities, and lo and behold, there was one in Juneau, an out of state attorney had picked up a couple of radio licenses in Juneau and built two commercial radio stations. They were called Star and Magic, and they played automated music formats aimed at teenagers and young women at the time on both Star and slightly different formats on both stations. Mm-hmm. And he did it for a few years and then decided to put them up for sale. And so we approached him about buying them. We got them at a very good price. We really were looking for one more station, but we got two.
Was
a windfall for us to be able to do two distinct music formats.
Right. And I know there's a lot of things that have happened since then in terms of becoming more digitally focused on the web and all that. So I guess my question is, there's been a lot of changes to the station you started working at in 1985, excuse me. Of all those changes, is it possible to pick the most important one in your opinion?
You know, I think for me, in terms of impact and satisfaction, certainly expanding the reach with new transmitters and new over-the-air services are great. But I think the pivot to be a news-focused journalism organization in the early, you know, in over the past 10 or 12 years mm-hmm. has been the most important. And I think the focus and the direction that will have the most impact. Everything we do is important and is locally based, and the decisions are local. But the most precious thing that we do, I think, is to bring high quality, fact-based, unbiased news reporting to the community and to the rest of the state. That's something that you're not going to find on national services, on Facebook or on Instagram. It's something that we can uniquely do here to serve.
Right.
Juneau and to serve the rest of Alaska. So I think the pivot to seeing ourselves as a major news organization and not the silos of TV and radio, but as a journalistically focused enterprise, was incredibly significant and important.
Which really goes back to your beginnings as a journalist and your interest in journalism.
So I guess it does, yeah.
That's kind of interesting. So yeah. I was thinking of this as like after 40 years and a lifetime in public media, what is it that you hope you've left for future generations?
Well, I think it's not just me. It's everybody who's gone before me and who will come after me who's been dedicated to this concept of, again, locally owned, locally controlled public media. And so I think there will always be a KTOO. I think it's an institution that will endure the ups and downs of funding and changes in audiences. I mean, look at everything we've been through. When I started, we had one computer in the building and we shared it. And we never thought when we built these studios that we're in today, we never thought there would be computers in a radio studio. Who would need a computer in a studio? The massive changes in technology and in the audience, you know, how the audience gets uses media is just been one of the biggest challenges is how do you keep up with that? So anyway, I think for the future, I think an institution that's fundamentally dedicated to connecting the community and the state will endure here as long as KTO is open to change and flexible and innovative as it has been since it started in 1974.
Yeah, and definitely wanting to reflect the community that we live in. That is definitely continuing to be the goal. Well, when we talk about legacy, it's easy to point out all of the accomplishments, Bill, but managing editor Jennifer Pemberton has some insight into what your true legacy might be.
This is Jennifer Pemberton. I think Bill's greatest legacy will be Lake Ligier, the body of water that is formed each spring when the piles of snow in KTOO's parking lot melt, complete with gravel beaches. Like the solstice or green up, it's part of the cycle of life here in Alaska. And it's here to remind us of how integral Bill has been to the ecosystem of KTOO, to the very stuff this place is made of. I'm thinking we should probably submit it to the U.S. Board of Geographic Names for consideration or get a plaque at the very least. Like the moon's pull on the tides, I'm sure we'll feel his influence even when we can't see him.
Oh, nice. That's it's this big puddle in the parking lot that has been
every spring
has vexed me for every year since we moved into the building in the 1990s. And I'm out there with a shovel and a pick and salt and a portable pump trying to get it to drain. And it will drain when it wants to drain.
Yes.
It's a frozen drain line. So nothing I can do can. So I've always taken that as sort of a metaphor for the work that we all do here. I mean, some things you just have to let happen on their own accord. I used to think that if it drained early in the spring, it was a good sign that we're going to have a good year. And if it lasted a long time, it might be a tough year. But I've since just learned to relax and watch it move on its own.
Kind of like retirement. Just let it live on its own and do your thing. Yeah. And as I know you said earlier that retiring in January is not the best thing to do because it's too cold to do any of the projects that you probably had planned to do. But Bill, it's been quite the time today. Thank you. Are there any final words that you'd like to leave Juno with about your time at KTOO?
Oh, boy, there's, you know, so many wonderful memories here. And I'm totally invested in KTOO's success in the future. And I want to continue to be involved. I mean, since this is our forever home, we want KTOO to be a forever institution. And I'll do anything that I can to help with that. And Boston, I just want to congratulate you for taking the reins of this program. I mean, you're following in the footsteps of a lot of early pioneers, starting with Susan Fitzgerald and Jeff Brown and Scott Burton and Rhonda McBride, who have been in this host chair. This program has been one of the longest running programs on KTOO, and I'm just so pleased and proud that you're going to be the next steward.
Well, thank you so much for that, Bill. Gwyneth Cheese to my guest, Bill Ligier. You got me teared up there a little bit for joining me today. Thank you, Bill, for sharing all of your years of talent, skill, and drive with Juno and with the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Boston.
Bill Ligier, everybody.